Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on the gospel text. Please recall these verses. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." Thus our text. You may be seated. Today's scripture tells of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem in order to die on the cross and pour out his blood for the sins of the world. Jesus is king, and the cross is his throne. Now, a cross doesn't look like a royal throne. It doesn't look like a place that commands obedience, respect, submission, and kneeling. But it is, and it does. God gave all authority in heaven and on earth to Christ in the flesh because he was lifted up on the cross, because he ascended on that throne, despite the cost to himself, in order to save his people. This is the first Sunday in Advent, and the word Advent means to come. The scripture today of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem teaches that Jesus Christ, the King, has come, possessing all authority in heaven and on earth. First, Jesus is King of all creation, of everything on earth, meaning that all things belong to him. Second, Jesus is the King of the Church, because those who believe him hear his word and obey it. And thirdly, Jesus is the King of heaven, because he has authority from heaven to forgive sins and to bring salvation to all who believe. Advent means to come, and we are given this scripture on the first Sunday of Advent to hear and to believe that Christ the King, our King, has come. First, Jesus is the King of all creation. The scripture says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them both and bring them to me.'" Now, in any other context, what Jesus commands his disciples to do would be called stealing. The seventh commandment says, "Thou shalt not steal." And what does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions. But Jesus sends his disciples to go, untie, and without asking the owner, take a donkey and a colt that does not belong to them. This makes sense only if you know who Jesus is. He is the King of all creation. All that exists was created by him and through him, and he owns it. He is God. Every donkey or colt, every house, all the land from one side of the earth to the other, everything belongs to him. God cannot steal because he owns everything. Jesus says, if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. Jesus knows his sheep, and he knows the owner will hand over the animals, and we know from elsewhere that he does do that. I know many of you who have done the same thing for Christ. The Lord has need of you. You sacrifice for the ministry of his church, for the love of your neighbor. And your reward is great in heaven. If your reward wasn't in heaven, you would have hoarded all you have for yourself. But the riches you have in heaven, that you know are there, make your earthly treasures pale in comparison. And so when the Lord has need, you give to Christ. Jesus is King of all creation, and this is so with one more proof from our text. He fulfills God's word. Zechariah the prophet said of the Messiah, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, your king, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. So the crowds cheer and shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The people knew Jesus was king because he fulfilled the prophecy, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, the scriptures say, in Deuteronomy especially, but elsewhere, that anyone who claims to be a prophet, one who gives prophecy, saying, God told me this and I'm telling it to you. Deuteronomy says that anyone who claims to be a prophet and to come to you with a message from God, he must have a 100% success rating. If a prophet tells you something that does not come to pass, he is not a prophet from God. Jesus fulfilled literally hundreds of Old Testament prophecies about himself. Never did the prophets speak a single word about the Messiah that Jesus didn't fulfill. He was born in Bethlehem, from Nazareth, born of a woman, a virgin, healed the sick, preached the good news to the poor. He is David's son, and he is David's Lord, and he fulfills God's word, because he is king. Jesus is the king of all creation because all things belong to him. Even if evil men deny it, he is still king. But he is also king of the church, of all believers, because they are the ones who hear his word and submit to it. The power of God's word is such that when people actually hear it, he creates faith in them to believe it, and they obey. Now, the instructions that Jesus gave his disciples here must surely have seemed very strange. Go and untie a donkey. Don't ask permission. If anybody stops you, tell them God says it's okay. Very strange. We'd be much more likely to go and talk to the owner, reason with him. Hey, we only need the donkey for a couple hours. Would you help Jesus out? No. He tells them this seemingly strange direction that could likely get them into trouble. But the disciples went, and they did as Jesus directed them. Had they done it any other way, it would have showed that God's word isn't powerful, that God needs his apostles or disciples or his followers to finesse the situation a little bit, to help persuade the owner out of the donkey. Instead, they just go and do exactly as he commands and trust that the word that he sent with them will accomplish its purposes for which he sent it. Jesus is, after all, the one who told storms on the sea to cease, and the wind and the waves obeyed. He told Lazarus, who was 4 days dead in the tomb and stinky, to rise and come out. And the dead man obeyed. And here Jesus tells his disciples to go into town, to find a donkey and take it, and only speak to someone if they ask you what you're doing. And the disciples did exactly as Jesus directed them. And this is the faith that Jesus gives to you. It is the simple faith of disciples who, when Jesus says, go and get this donkey, untie it, and if anything goes wrong, say the Lord commands it. That's your faith. That's what you're called to say and to do. Not, of course, about any particular donkey, but you are to do what Christ says to do. You are to say what Christ tells you to say, and to trust that he will accomplish his purposes. And so, if we know someone who is guilty of murder, or more common today, abortion, we say, the Lord says, thou shalt not murder. That's simple. Will they listen? That's up to the Lord. But we are to say it. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You don't put a light under a basket. Let it shine. Jesus commands many things. And it's not our job to figure out how to make it work with the world. We just speak, and God accomplishes his purposes. And it's not just the law that we are to speak plainly, but the gospel, in which the world is in desperate need. It's not only God commands this, but also God promises this. Jesus has won forgiveness, and it is given freely to all who believe. Your conscience is troubled? There is a solution, and his name is Jesus. And you who are anxious or troubled, don't be. No matter what you're going through, you still belong to God, and he cares for you, and he guards you from all danger. This message does not need any more doctoring. It is clear, and it is the greatest comfort this side of eternity. So Jesus is the King of the church, the King of those who believe in him, who do what he says. The church trusts that word of Jesus to accomplish its purposes. And oh, what horrible uncertainty if we think that God has something for us to say or something for us to do in the world, but we just don't know what it is. What an awful life to know that there's a God, but you don't know what he's saying. But Christ has spoken, and we have heard. And there's nothing confusing about it. When God says, you have sinned, repent. And when he says, after you say, I'm sorry, I forgive you, it's true. And it's so simple, so profound, this word that calms the sea, and this faith that hears the word and moves mountains. Jesus is King of all creation because he owns it. He is King of the church and of all believers because they hear and obey. And Jesus is King of heaven because he has the authority to forgive sins. As the Christ rides into Jerusalem as her king, the people know he is coming to be their king. They shout, Hosanna in the highest. And Hosanna means save now. Save now. And so what they were saying to Jesus is, save now in the highest, that is, in the highest heaven. The people knew that Jesus was coming to be their king, and they welcomed him. They knew he was heaven sent, and so they laid down palm branches to roll out the red carpet. They wanted him to be their king, but they did misunderstand his mission. We know that Jesus did not ride into Jerusalem to bring heaven's army to conquer the world and set up an earthly kingdom. If he did come for that purpose, he failed miserably. If he did come to topple the governments and take over the world, he would not be the Messiah that Zechariah prophesied would be humble. Jesus was humble. He did not come in glory to conquer. He came in humility to die. Jesus entered Jerusalem in order to die on the cross. He fulfilled those cries of Hosanna. Jesus saved them in the highest heaven. Hosanna in the highest. He saved them because he won for them forgiveness, life, salvation, in the presence of the living God. Now, sure, on earth there's still injustice, evil, oppression, tyranny. You can still suffer persecution, trials, temptations. You can be beaten, bullied, and killed in this world. It's true. But the freedom Christ won for you in heaven is that nothing that happens to you on earth can damn you from heaven. Not the devil, not death, not even your own sin. Because for Jesus' sake, God has forgiven your trespasses, and he remembers your sins no more. And if you sin 77 times in a day and truly repent, you are forgiven before God in heaven. Jesus says to his disciples, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This, friends, is the reason the church on earth exists. This peace is a peace that the world cannot give. The world can make you rich in things, but it will leave you poor in soul. But when your sins are forgiven by Christ, today, through his church on earth, they are forgiven in heaven. So Jesus Christ, the King, has come, possessing all authority in heaven and on earth. He is King of all creation, and all things belong to him. He is King of the church, because those who believe in him hear and obey. And Jesus is King of heaven. He has the authority from heaven to forgive sins and bring salvation. Advent means to come. And we have been given this scripture on the first Sunday in Advent to hear and to believe that Christ, our King, has come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We now continue by confessing the mystery of our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.